I tease this. It's 9:20 before we get back to the business here. You got the ESPN stuff in front of you real quick. But, okay, we'll get to that here in a second. What was what you asked me? Do you remember what you asked me about Drew Aller?
So we have been talking Shador, obviously, Arch Manning, the rookies next year. You know, we're all wondering who's going to be quarterback next year. And I said, man, the Drew Aller stuff, we played audio about his
Ross Tucker football podcast.
Yes, grandparents.
Ball Cannon.
Huge Browns fan. Lifetime. It sounded like a caller to the show. I've been season ticket holder for 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's his family. I mean, he played high school football. We both covered him in high school football. Goes on to Penn State. But because he didn't play well against Ohio State in the game everybody watched, does anybody seem to care that he's a lifelong Browns fan?
Nope.
Because had he have been dominant against Ohio State, I think everybody would have said, it's over. We want Drew Aller. Like, that's the guy we want.
I got to be honest, and I hope his family's listening. I hate the offense that he's in. I think his play caller has called plays just to be cute for Instagram. I mean, when you did the constant, like, it was
reckless speculation.
I don't think it's reckless at all. I think that the guy calling plays for him listens to the college football podcast and loves that these guys love the plays that he calls that are really nonsensical at times, because you keep doing the same thing over and over again against the same opponent. Like, it's fun when you line up a tackle and a wing and bring him down, but when you consistently do it against a team like Ohio State and then they thwart you, maybe you're going to have to do something different. When you constantly recruit wide receivers, now things are changing quickly, but when you've recruited some wide receivers at a mid-level,
I mean, Julian
in
Fleming,
the Big Ten.
They brought in Julian Fleming last year. They had three passes that were caught by wide receivers in that Ohio State game where they only scored 13 points.
I mean, you go back to that game and watch some of those passes. Tell me that's Drew Aller's fault. And I'm going to say this now.
Oh, I'm sorry, they only scored one touchdown, remember, because the other one was an interception return for a touchdown.
I like Drew Aller. Can I just say this? I do not want the Browns to draft him. I wouldn't want my son to be drafted by the Browns.
But you wouldn't
it's
have said
nothing
that.
Against
Hold
the Browns.
On. You would not have said that if he would have been dominant against Ohio State. You'd have been like, we'd do everything we can to get him.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be very terrified.
Oh, come on.
I would say he's a really good player, but I'm going to pray for the kid every single day.
Kenny, come on.
No. Listen to what I just said. I know you want to fight me.
That to the number one team in the country.
Listen to what I just said. You didn't listen to what I just said. You wanted to try to catch me in a lie because you're obsessed with catching me in lies. That's not what I said.
I just didn't believe
you. Owen heard what I said.
I just didn't believe that you wouldn't want him.
I would say he's the right pick. You have to draft him. I would also follow everything up with, I'm absolutely terrified and I'm going to pray for him every day because you can't go home twice. If he sucks here, where does he go?
Would you have said that about Bernie Kosar?
I don't know. I was like one year old when Bernie Kosar was here.
But let's say we're doing this in 1983.
No, because we weren't looking for a messiah in night. What year did Bernie come out? 85? Talk amongst yourselves. Go ahead, real quick.
I totally understand what Ken's saying.
Thank you.
But what I'm saying to you, Ken, is you are taking every kid that is good at quarterback in Northeast Ohio and telling them you never want them to play for the Browns.
We did say
and
it.
And I understand why you say
he
that.
He said it with Mitch Trubisky.
I don't know
who Glenville's quarterback is right now, but he does not want you to play for the Browns. Your dream of playing for the Browns one day, Ken does not want that.
Sorry.
But yet, did you do this with LeBron James?
Avon's quarterback?
I hope I'm saying this.
He doesn't care about
the kid
you.
From,
he doesn't want you to play
the
for the
kid
Browns.
From Maple Heights, Luke Anslover. Yeah. I hope I'm saying his last name right. I think I'm saying his last name right. Wonderful young man. I look forward to his season. Yeah. I wish him a world of success, just not with the Cleveland Browns. Whoever the Browns take as their next franchise QB, I'm going to get smashed for this. I fear for you. Because if you're from Houston, Texas, or whatever, fine. That ain't no big deal. You can go back home to Houston, Texas. But we're looking for a messiah. We ain't looking for a quarterback. I mean, we are looking for somebody to staff talks a little bit weird considering the Saturday, but we're looking for somebody to lead us through the desert and finally take us to a promised land here. And I just can't imagine if you were the quarterback of the Browns and you were from Northeast Ohio and your family were a bunch of Browns fans and they had Browns season tickets and you went out there and sucked for the Browns. I cannot imagine how horrific that would be. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, like Axel's 10. He says he wants to be a football coach. Well, he's 10 years old. Lots of 10-year-olds say lots of things. But let's say we go through this, and my son ends up like Kevin Stefanski. The things that people have said about Kevin Stefanski over the last 6 years, you think I want to sit here while they say that about my son? And I would be much more happy if they were saying the same exact thing about my son if he were the head coach of the Detroit Lions or the head coach of the Houston Texans or the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys or God knows who else. Not here, because you can't go home twice. If I don't have a home to go back to, then I'm really stuck. I would hate it. You would hate it. This is your home now. I know you're from Oklahoma, but this is your home. You know you both would hate that. You would hate to be like, all right, double birds to everybody from back home. It wasn't my fault, this, that, and the other. You'd hate that.
Now, does this only pertain to football? Because I would bring up, like, LeBron James had a lot of pressure to try to make history in his, you know, I call Cleveland his hometown, but his home region.
Yeah.
Is it different because it's the Cavs and they didn't have...
No, that was a hell of a lot of pressure on him. I was a much younger person. I'm not as nearly as emotional at that then as I am now. I think that the Cavaliers have enjoyed a lot of success, now without LeBron for the first time, but really over the last 20 plus years. The Cavs or the Browns have not enjoyed very much success at all. And whoever takes over as quarterback, there is just such an immense amount of suffocating pressure on whoever that is. And so many guys have not been ready for it. So many guys have not been Baker, as much as you guys want to bitch my ear off about it. And guys, I agree with you now about it. Yes. Yes.
So if you played any other position, it'd be fine. Because I wonder, we're much further down the road, but like Guardians, they probably won't win a World Series before my kid makes it to hopefully at least play in college ball and maybe more, right?
Uh-huh.
I want him to play for the Guardians.
It's basically just the quarterback.
It's just a quarterback.
It's just a quarterback.
If he was the next D-end, he's the next Myles Garrett, you'd be okay if he came and played in Cleveland.
I'd say sunset the cruise control at 69 miles an hour going through Strongsville.
I can't drive 55 or 65 or 75 or 80.
I don't know a fan base that's as obsessed with finding a quarterback as us. I don't know an owner who's as obsessed with finding a quarterback as Jimmy Haslam. I really believe there's nobody more obsessed with finding a quarterback than this fan base and this ownership. And I think that's a tremendous amount of pressure. And I think if you were to fail, the fear of failure is greater than my thought of success. So it does help that Cade Klubnik ain't from here. It does help that Lenora Sellers ain't from here. It helps that Shedeur Sanders ain't from here. Because, God, if they were from here, that's just so much pressure. Your whole family around you, everybody around you, they all grew up Browns fans. I mean, you're thinking like a Super Bowl from day one. No. So November 1st becomes his Super Bowl in so many ways. Because if he goes out and he plays well against Penn State and we're sucking up the room well, against Ohio State and we're sucking up the room well, there it is. Was that even the question you wanted to ask me?
Yeah,
because
obviously, like, the Bernie example is famous. He was a Browns fan, and then he manipulated the whole draft to be able to go to the Browns.
Yeah, it was a ballsy move.
And
worked out.
What I was kind of wondering is, you know, Drew Aller right now, I think there's a perception of him as somebody could be a top 10 pick next year, has the skills to do it, but people aren't talking about him the way they are, say, you know, Arch Manning. But if he plays and makes amends for what he didn't do last year against Ohio State and was able to do that this year, like, does that change the discussion? And all of a sudden, are we now tying in, hey, lifelong Browns fan, his family, Browns fans? Like, this is just perfect. It's a perfect storyline.
Scott, I know for a fact, though, scouts love him. He's going top five, top three, somewhere in there next year. Scouts love him so much, they feel the same. I'm not saying any of this that I haven't been told by any scout whatsoever about
the body type,
about his offense that he works in, the over-imagination with the play calling that goes on in that offense, how they're just calling plays for podcasters. Like, that ain't nothing that I ain't never been told before. Okay, I'm just going to point that out right now. And there have been people close to the program over there who have felt the same way. So I'm just defending Drew Aller to a certain level. So you can be as non-Penn State supportive as you want. He still looks like a prototype that they want. And there's plenty of scouts right now and plenty of coaches right now that see Drew Aller and they're like, I can't wait to get him in my uniform and I get to work with him and I get to do it. Whether they lead him down the primrose path or to Super Bowl 60 or whatever it is, then fine. But that's the way they think of the guy. And if it ends up being with the Cleveland Browns, if he goes out there and he has a dynamite season and everything's good, I will have to reluctantly say if the Browns are bad and they don't have their quarterback figured out, because I know it has. You guys all want to tell me it's only been one preseason game, guys. I know that. I want to have some hope for a moment before we go off to our 5-win season here. If we end up being a bad football team and we have that number one pick or number two pick or whatever, I'll say that he's the pick, but I'll do it reluctantly. Because, damn, man, there's so much bleeping pressure on him. So, if we had a guy who was a Brian Sipe that he was taking over for, I might feel a little different. But I still don't know because it's when Bernie came out in 85, it's a quarterback league still. We didn't notice it yet. But, man, there were so many more things that, Bernie was great. And what bothers me, because we try to be historians about this, what made Bernie so great, people go back and they look at their football reference like, you guys sit there and pray to this? And we're like, yeah, he was really, really, really good. It was a different game at that time. He had 2,000-yard backs behind him. You didn't have to sit there and throw the ball all over the field all the time. Also, you didn't have the type of rules that you have right now where it's basically a free-for-all. If you plot Bernie Kosar into this year's draft, I would sit there and say, well, everybody would still hate him because he wasn't that great of a runner. But obviously, he was a hell of a passer, and he would probably flourish in a passing league with all these different rules now. So you could take all his yards and inflate them like crazy in the 2020s. But in 1985, those are dynamite seasons. That's a dynamite, laser-accurate quarterback. He was a reason to be excited. And I would want the next guy to be excited. But, Bernie did follow Brian Sipe. So you had success right before he took over. We've had very little success, if any. And the guy that we had a little bit of success with, we obviously know what that happened, so it's made people very bitter and distrusting of the franchise. That's a hell of a lot to go on for a Drew Aller, is it not? If you were Drew Aller's daddy, you wouldn't be a little nervous about that?
Because
you got to go from Browns fan to quarterback dad.
The NFL's not easy. I imagine these guys all, it's why Caleb Williams' dad was trying to plot out a path for him to go to the best place that he could possibly go, and why it looked like they didn't want to go to Chicago because they were very worried about Chicago. I think that was more what they were nervous about at the time rather than the city. But obviously, if the Browns aren't good and are in position to take Aller, you wonder too, does Aller's dad even want him to go to Cleveland in general, or his parents or his family or Drew Aller?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You have to make a business decision on that one. Well, you don't have to. I mean, the draft is a draft. I don't know if... I mean, we'll see how good Arch Manning is. Maybe he won't have the cachet that we think he does. He probably will. But he probably isn't in a position to pick his destination. Drew Aller is. But yeah, it would suit me better if the Browns are bad this year, if they did not have their answer at QB. If Sellers or Nussmeier or Klubnik. I don't know. I don't see it with Klubnik the way other people do. I got to be honest with you. Cool Ray in Bedford. Hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi.
Good morning. Hey, so I think you guys are looking at this wrong. Seriously. Yeah, the Browns, we do need a quarterback. Well, it doesn't matter for this particular team and this particular team in this particular age right now. Because we all know we can play games. Like, I listened to that speech after the first preseason. So Stefanski is not a good coach. We need a quarterback that can overcome the mistakes of a bad coach, of a bad leader. That's what the Browns need. So I'm looking at...
How many coach of the years does it take to finally get a caller to say, maybe he's not a terrible coach? Does he need three?
I don't know. Maybe.
Does he need four?
Maybe get let, because
would five
you know
do the trick, Cool Ray? Does he need five coach of the years? How many?
He going to need, I don't know, maybe become a good coach. Like what we're
so
looking
for
here
is. Give me your list. How many good coaches are there in the NFL
this
right now?
Fun.
How many?
You guys are making my
how many?
Point right now.
I want you to make a point.
Right now,
who are the good coaches need... right now and how many are there?
Let me see. Pittsburgh has a great coach. Let's say Philly has a great coach. Let's say KC has a
Philly.
Great coach.
Philly almost fired their coach 6 weeks into the season last year.
But he did have to beat Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns to save his job. You see how that works?
So here we go. So my thing is, I think the NFL, when you talk about Bernie Kosars of the world and all those things, that was synonymous with great coaches. We don't have
Cool Ray. Why is it that every time I see a list outside of Cleveland that does not involve Cleveland callers?
We're going to talk about that list coming up at 9:45.
Why does every list have Kevin Stefanski in the upper half of the league in terms of coaches?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. And this is real talk.
Let's hear it.
It's because the Browns have been bad for so long. It's like that kid in school, and you guys know who this kid is. He got so many bad grades. Right, for so long that he finally got a good grade that the teacher wanted to praise him. That's what it was. It was Kevin Stefanski came in because the Browns was a joke for so long that we finally did something good. So they praised the bad kid, which was the team, Browns. But let's be honest. The man had great talent and barely did anything with it, and now we're in a rebuild. And you guys, and so here in Cleveland, winning a Super Bowl isn't really – the benchmark.
That's the
just
first.
Just making the playoffs. Having a winning season.
That's the first
and you guys
thing.
Say it all the time. You guys say it all the time on this show, and I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
If we go 8-8, that's a winning season here in Cleveland. That is a great season if we just don't have a losing season. That is the benchmark. So there is no.
So what's the
He's not wrong about that,
okay.
Tone.
But what's
Cool
the,
Ray, thank you for the call. We got to go.
He mentioned Mike Tomlin. What's the benchmark in Pittsburgh? He said Mike Tomlin's a great coach. But is Pittsburgh ever hitting
eight
their
and eight?
Yeah, my
eight,
first thought,
nine,
my,
9-8 is their benchmark.
I mean, I really like Mike Tomlin, but in Pittsburgh, they would absolutely disagree with Cool Ray. But you know, he's right. He's the coach of the Browns. If he was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, it'd be held much differently with Kevin Stefanski. Can we all be honest with each other here? Perception. Okay, just making sure. Like, part of what made Dan Campbell such a special story, everybody thought he was going to be an idiot with the kneecap speech. I didn't, and I don't think Tone did, but a lot of people thought he was going to be an idiot with the kneecap speech. Same old sorry-ass Detroit Lions, and that he took the Detroit Lions out of the gutter and has them going, okay, we'll find out the real test of it now. He has turned into a really good coach. He has. We'll see another test of it now. Like, part of it is the organization you take over. I got to give Cool Ray that credit.